Hello, everybody. So I was just interested, how did you get these teenagers to get involved in this project?
The process was that the project was being run by a project coordinator who was based at the Centre for Multicultural Youth, and they advertised the project through different community groups using a flyer. And prior to that, there were also some meetings with community groups to establish whether there was interest, and some of those people did come through to the start of this particular program. And then in addition to that, a peer facilitator at Centre for Multicultural Youth also networked through her networks to identify potential participants. So it was a multi-pronged recruitment drive for the original participants. But then what happened over the course of 2010 was that other people started coming on board to the project. So by the end of 2010, there were some 34 young people who had been involved, not all of them throughout the whole year, but certainly 34 people had been participating in the project at some point.
That's a good number.
Yeah, it was a good number. It was encouraging.
Well, I think this initiative that you guys
are running is very important. First of all, because you're generating...
Could you just say your name and where you're from?
Oh, sorry, I'm Jorge Leiva. I work for Multicultural Arts Victoria, and For People Are People. I run a similar project with schools in Afghanistan and in Colombia and in Australia, and we create art through the web with the kids. So I think this is this way of, you know, generating community development and also strengthening the community and their identity and their background, and it's a very important way for the new communities in Australia and all over the world to feel more, you know, identified with their background. So, I'm happy to see that there's some more people that are starting to use the web and projects like this in order to educate the young minds, but also in order to learn more about the world and about globalization and how we're turning into a more multicultural world. Another important thing, I work with communities that have been, like the kids in Afghanistan and the kids in Colombia, most of them are from displaced populations because of the war. So this gives them the opportunity also to, you know, to use computers, things that they never had before, to create through arts and express all those, you know, experiences that they had through of violence and through in a peaceful and, you know, well, maybe not that peaceful because it can be like strong art, but, you know, in a positive manner. So I would like to have more relation, or maybe, you know, with you guys we can have a deep conversation about how, you know, this can be of greater impact, not only in homelands but also, you know, in other projects that are similar, how we can unite to make it stronger and bigger. So yeah, it's very good. Yeah.
Great, thank you. One of the things that I just picked up on, you see it as valuable in terms of connecting people back to their culture. And I think one of the interesting things about the possibilities of ICTs now is that culture remains alive and dynamic and changing, whereas in the past, people who tried to retain a sense of their culture of origin might have been retaining a sense of what it was like 20 years ago or 30 years ago, rather than what it is now. So, yeah, it opens up important possibilities.
Hi, my name's Fritha Melville. I work at Foundation House. I'm coordinating a project with at-risk Karen youth in Western Melbourne. And it's segueing on from what you said, I guess our focus is trying to work with the disengaged young Karen youth, and particularly with young men. Mm. And I guess in our work at the moment, what we're finding interesting is how they're forming their identity in the community. And your three YouTube clips kind of highlight those differences. Some of the young people I recognise, but they're wanting to do a couple of ICTs, one on drug and alcohol and a safety message, and the other about rebuilding relationships with community because they don't feel they belong to their community. They want to. Mm. They want to as a young person, and they want to as a young person who's a bit different.
Mm. I'm aware of that project, and it's really an interesting issue about young people who have been marginalized. I think the interesting thing, particularly about that last clip, the YouTube clip, is that it offers a space where young people who may be, you know, practicing different ways of being in the world actually connect to young people who are doing that across the globe. And secondly, I mean, if you continue to watch that clip and it's on YouTube, you know, there's drinking, and I know that you recognize some of the young people. And I think the issue there is that it's a universal phenomena of some young people trying to fit in when they don't fit in. And how do they find their space there? And I think that ICTs can be really useful, but one of the big questions is, how structured do they have to be? And I'll just put for this project, this is what I think. I think that it's really important that some of the spaces are left quite unstructured and quite outside the gaze of us who might be working in the field. So it's like giving an opportunity and standing back and letting whatever happens in that space happen. Now, we can talk about all of the safety issues, but I think one thing that ICTs in that space can offer is an opportunity to start trying out lots of things and trying lots of ways to be without having to conform or stand on the edge of a gathering in real time. Does that make sense?
It does. And, yeah. And I guess what some of the young men today are saying is that they want community to be a bit flexible.
Absolutely.
Which is what their community or the and that's where the tension is, I guess, a little bit in how they combine their Karen identity, which they very much want to hold on to, but how do they have a youth, this other youth sort of genre, non-Karen identity as well?
Yeah, and I think the potentials here are that some of those spaces and ICTs can stop the alienation that young people feel. But it's their space, it's not ours. And I think that's the real challenge in some of this. Is it's not ours, and we don't, well, I would say me, you know, us, whoever we are, how do programs and organizations work with that? How do they let it go and not appropriate it? And, you know, these are the kinds of real struggles, I think, that are being brought up.
And have you come up with any positive suggestions?
Can you say who you are?
Yeah, I'm Megan Rowland, Cultural Development Officer for Shire VR Rangers. And often involved in projects like this, you know, focusing on minority groups or specific groups of the population to develop these types of skills with certain outcomes. And I guess I agree with everything that you've said, and I'm wondering from that what if there are any positive suggestions for people like me working in these areas, coming up with, you know, working with the communities on these types of projects, as to how we can not construct these spaces. And because when I watched that first really structured project, I thought exactly that. Like, it's very much, I felt like it was very much this manifestation of themselves for what they thought that was expected, or it was very safe. And I wondered whether, because you offered that space, then that's what was made. So how can we still offer, you know, skill development and identity development and all of those things? Are there any positive suggestions about how we can do that?
You know, that's probably for the practitioners, but I did want to say one thing about that, because the reason why I think that first space is as important as the last space. Mm. And the reason is that we all know that as we're growing up in the world, we have to learn how to be people in different spaces and contexts at different times.
Yeah.
So the love genre and knowing that it's going to be acceptable and it's done within a safe space, I think is a really important... It's as important as that space that is left free. And I think that the work that I've done in Settlement, the research, is that those are the kinds of skills and capacities that young people need to be able to develop, to negotiate these different contexts. And we all know that if young people don't have those skills, if you front up at a fancy restaurant and you've never in your whole life been in one, you are very disadvantaged. I'm just giving that as an example. But it goes through the whole issue on how are you going to take a grasp of this world you're living in. So I guess I don't see it as an either or. Mm. And because I'm not a practitioner, Raylene, if you want to respond to that.
You offer the skills and then they maybe choose to act on them in ways that, you know, they choose to.
And I think one of the important things to note, and we're still analysing this, is that the person who produced that third clip we showed wasn't producing those sorts of clips before participation in Homeland. So it sort of the skills were, you know, developed during that program, and then allowed that person to go out and do their own thing. Yeah. So to some extent, you just have to accept that maybe not all of the outcomes are going to be visible to you. We were really lucky because we had ethnographers on the ground who were working with the young people beyond the program. Mm.
So how did they find that YouTube track? They just found, like...
Well, that one was actually discussed within one of the Homelands program meetings because it was discussed whether it should be included as part of Homelands or not.
Yep.
So we were alerted to that in that way. But just having that broader background of the young people's lives, I think, really helped from our research perspective.
Oh, hello, I'm Beck Cole, I'm the Arts Officer at Wyndham City Council. I guess a comment slash concern, I don't know how to put it really. So when we do these sorts of projects, we do skill people up in ways to express themselves and to open up spaces for expression. And I wonder about the responsibility of doing that without teaching the necessary skills around the ramifications of that behaviour and putting that in a really public, openly accessible forum. And I wonder how that tension gets resolved through kind of project processes.
Can I talk briefly about that? Because I think it'll be a theme for everything. It's an issue that in the project we have discussed over and over. And it's really interesting because within Homelands, we've really had to attend to process, trying to get critical reflection from the young people on what's safe, what's not. Also, just because they have refugee backgrounds, so what's put out there could be risky for people across the world. The really interesting thing, though, outside of YouTube, that's up to the young people to do. And that gets into a whole broader issue that, is on the front page of the paper now, about, sexualization, about what you put out there. And outside of Homelands, that's not unique.
No,
I mean, it's a broader issue. Yeah.
But I guess the concern on top, a lot of other young people are already quite media savvy. And then you have a group of young people who haven't experienced, everything that leads up to making these things. And they're sort of putting you in a situation where they're now making these things without the history of seeing what happens. You know what I mean?
And it was such a really rewarding experience for me because it was like I had to understand how he was feeling, so I'm wondering whether there would be any other opportunities to be able to do more work as a mentor because it really changed my life and I want to do more of it.
Thank you for that. I think there may be lots of people here who are doing mentoring. In fact, I know Foundation House and CMI, Culture for A Center for Multicultural Youth, has a really interesting mentoring program. We've been trying to get something up in the university. There may be other people around, but it's really interesting because those kinds of relationships, you've made a really important point. It's not only what you're giving, but what you get back. And it's those kinds of bridging opportunities, those relationships that are absolutely critical. Thanks.